for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
A little on the down and out. It's been one of those weeks, Kevin.
Is that so?
Yeah. So we're here for Manufacturing Uncut. It's our full recap episode. And this is episode 102.
We got plenty of things to talk about.
Yeah, get everybody caught up on what we've been doing over the past couple of months and maybe give them some insight as to what we've got going on in the month of October. I do have a joke though.
Do you?
I do.
Please, by all means.
Do you think you can handle it?
I think so. I had one on deck.
You do?
I do, but I mean, if you do, please.
No, I would love this. Like, I wasn't sure.
Do you
want to
do both of ours?
Okay, let's do a joke off.
And then the fans can decide which one they like better.
Agreed. I know certain days of the week, you have a very long beginning to them. So I was prepared just in case, because I thought, oh, he may not be ready for this right away. So... But this is wonderful. I'm excited.
So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Sure. I'll go first because your joke will probably leave a lasting impression. So
I don't know. I mean,
would be really funny. The joke would be on us if we both had a very similar joke. That would be very funny.
That'd be something. I can't imagine that we will.
I don't know. You never know.
All right.
Well, I don't know. My gut right now is kind of like, this might be the same joke.
Okay.
All right. So how many marketers does it take to screw a light bulb?
How many, Haley?
None. Because we already get it automated.
That was good.
Well, that's more like... Inside, that's an inside joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's more on the manufacturing side than mine is. Like, and yours is barely even manufacturing at all. Yeah. But like the automation and stuff like that, I mean, it kind of ties into what we do. But mine has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Okay, well,
mine isn't like an ask a question one. It's more like just a
statement.
Say it.
Know what I mean? Yeah. A punchline. So you got a bit of a punchline coming here.
A bit.
Okay. All right. I don't know. You're pretty witty on your feet. I think you could probably find a way to turn it around and make it industry related.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
Maybe.
Let's see what we can come up with.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep. Here we go.
I can't take my dog to the pond anymore because the ducks keep attacking her. That's what I get for adopting purebred. Pure bread.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good one. I chuckled to myself when I read that one. Rarely do I ever like audibly chuckle at like a dad joke when I'm reading it online, but that one did it, so I guess it was the one that we're going with.
So we did not do a recap podcast in August because in August we actually did our 100th episode. And that was a pretty big deal for us because we actually made it to 100 episodes. And as surprising as it probably is to the 10 people that do listen to the podcast, we have a pretty pretty solid listening base. I don't know if they can stomach the whole 40 minutes sometimes, but they at least attempt and maybe get through the beginning of it. So I look at it as though it's kind of like the comedians at night, the late shows. You really listen for the monologues, and then, like depending on who the guests are, really is kind of shapes whether you stay on or
That's
not.
true. That's a good point. Yeah. And luckily for us, we always have the best guests on these calls. So you never have to turn us off. You always get some valuable information, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So, we'll kind of lump together August and September in this recap episode. We did a few things in August. It seems like that was 6 months ago.
I know.
Now, after this week, because of it was a busy week, and so I'm gonna have to do a little refresh for my own brain's sake. What we did in the month of August. So we did have two events.
Yep.
I think we were both at one of them. You were definitely way more involved than I was, so I was just kind of on the sidelines as a sideline reporter, in that you were the lead broadcaster. And then the other event I did actually go and attend. So you want to walk us through what we did in August?
Yeah, so on the 27th we had Get Growing with Additive, the 3D print preview, and this was a great lunch and learn opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into the additive and 3D printing that it was an opportunity for these manufacturers to gain more insight onto 3D printing, onto additive, some practical knowledge about this transformative technology. It was great. And then it gave us an opportunity to showcase our new program, the 3D printing adoption program. Ellen Ellsworth and Rich Goyette are kind of spearheading that. we had there was an a panel discussion. It was a very informative event. It was very low key. Everyone had a great time. I feel like a lot of people exited that event with some valuable information on just what you can do with 3D printing in your facility. The type of, I mean, you can go from just creating fixtures and components like that to completely creating like new products. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for these manufacturers.
I know it was important for Ellen and Rich because of this adoption program. We have been fortunate enough in MassMEP that we do have a 3D printer, and their initiative is to find a way to help the manufacturers kind of embrace this. The way that Ellen described it to me was, there's a lot of people, sometimes you go out and you're like, I'm going to be a runner, and you buy a treadmill, and within, a couple of weeks, it becomes a coat rack, right? And
Yeah,
so Ellen said
exactly.
the same thing when it came to the 3D printer. And in her vision, she sees it as this is a way for them to kind of test it, see how it works, and if they can make it work, and then know if they can make the investment into it. Obviously, we are always looking for opportunities for the manufacturers to find funding to be able to maybe add some of these in there. But her goal is to walk into a manufacturer and not see a large piece of equipment that is very financially, committable, and that they are not using properly. And she wants to be able to give them the opportunity to test it, try it out, see if it's a fit, and then know what they need to make the investment on. And it gets exciting, and it is fun. And from the manufacturer's perspective, it is one of those areas where you look at it and go, this is great. I have such great ideas for this. And then real life happens, and everyday manufacturing, just to-dos and fires and problems and solutions, and it just your day-to-day overtakes that. So this allows a little bit better of an opportunity for that. It was definitely successful. There were three companies that came out of it that are very interested in the program and that are hopefully looking, forward to be able to use this. We like to do a lot of success stories, and I know that Alan and Rich used success stories in this lunch and learn. And what's kind of cool is when you come full circle, and then the companies that attend, they then become the success stories themselves as well. So there is hope that that will happen for that. But this is definitely a new program that's kicking off. If you always know, you can go to our contact us, learn more about our innovative growth services department with Ellen and Rich. And we were at an event la this week. And there's still a lot of mixed messages. There's still a lot of mixed feelings about the world of additive and automation, and it has to be the right fit. And that's what Ellen and Rich are trying to do. That's what's they want to make sure our goal as an MEP, a manufacturing extension partnership, is to make sure that we are providing the best solutions possible for the needs of the manufacturer. There's
And
always a lot of wants, but we got to focus on the needs.
I think it's definitely, I mean, we don't want to make it seem like to these manufacturers that, oh, you're having problems with this. Well, a 3D printer can fix that. You know, it's about having that strategy beforehand, and it's about diving deeper into what you need to accomplish as your facility. And it's like, I mean, if a 3D printer, if additive manufacturing fits within that strategy that you're trying to implement, then great. But there are multiple other ways to, I don't know, transform your facility. And
That was good. So I would say for everybody, anybody that's interested, obviously reach out to us and keep an eye on it, because this is just the beginning. There's going to be a lot more of these opportunities that are coming. There's going to be a lot more events that are going to be focused. The event that we'll be holding in October, Ellen and Rich will be there. I actually think there's a possibility that they'll be doing some demonstrations and discussing this adoption program. From what I understand. So still working through that, but Ellen and Rich will definitely be at our event in October. So if you're wanting to learn more, I would go and meet up with them. Yeah, good. So it was
Perfect.
good. It was good. And there was lunch. So those are always good ones. So whenever you see a lunch and learn, jump on it.
Jump on it.
Jump on it. Get yourself some lunch, no charge. So that evening I went to the WIM, which is Women in Manufacturing, the Massachusetts chapter. We partner up with them. We do one event a year with them. Looks as though we're hoping to actually start doing a couple more. Anytime they want to come into town and do something, or in any way we can get connected with WIM, we try to partner up with them. We do a Women's Day workshop in the month of March. We always have them involved in that. So they're very integral in the world of women in manufacturing. And we did a little bit of a networking night. We were at Greater Good in Worcester, and it was a fun event. There was a good crowd there. And it wasn't just women. Let's just clarify that as well. There's some men that go there too, but it in community in having conversations with some of the individuals that were there, it is a nice place for them to feel comfortable and kind of connect and network with other women that are in manufacturing. But it's really just low key, laid back. Just come and have a couple beverages, some snacks, and just chat. It's a way to allow people a space that they feel comfortable, and maybe those walls kind of break down a little bit, and they can network more maybe so than they would normally. What I'm always impressed with when I go to these events is how outgoing these women are. As outgoing, I'm not that type of a person. I'm not one to walk up to somebody and introduce myself. I'm more of an avoider. If I can avoid, I will. It's just not, but these women are so outgoing and nice to meet you. I'm so and so from here and I'm so and so from there. And it's impressive to see them do it. Kathy does a great job of it. Christy does it to kind of watch them work the way that they move through, and they genuinely just want to hear what these women are doing and what they're bringing to the table. So it was a fun night. We usually do it in the fall. So we'll definitely be looking at doing that again in a year's time. But in conversations with WIM, we're looking at possibly adding a couple more of these, and maybe we'll sprinkle them in between our innovation and libations events. And we'll look at doing them. So WIM actually has a big event coming up, not next week, but the week after. I think it's the first week of o second week of full week of October is the national conference, and it's in Boston. I will be going to that. So I'll be making some notes. Maybe if I can get the mic, I can interview some people, have some conversations. It's impressive and it's large. Looking at how many people are at how many tracks they offer for that event, I'm assuming there's a couple thousand people that will be in attendance at that event. And it's over 3.5 days. So, and obviously from our perspective and what we do every day, I'm also intrigued by that part of it too. Like, I want to see how it's working, what they're doing, and then gives us a little bit of insight as to maybe what we will do for some of our events in the future. So, yeah. So
That's
that was really it. And then in August, like we said, we just released our 100th episode. If you didn't have the opportunity to listen to it yet, you are missing out. You really should. What was cool about the episode is that we had a great group of guests. I guess that's what you said that, Kevin, at the beginning. We obviously have good guests. And my biggest takeaway from the podcast was how interactive, like, Kathy and Christy have now become in the podcast. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, they
before,
got a
just
couple.
sit. Yeah.
They got a
Right.
couple shows underneath their in their sleeve, so they're good to go. They're
Yeah.
professionals at this point, you know.
Yeah. 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 And of course, always fun to have John and Pete from Synergex back with us, because so we asked trivia questions, right? And they had the most episodes. They've recorded the most episodes with us, done the most podcasts with us. Christy has been on the most episodes with us as an outside guest. And we asked some funny questions, like some funny trivia questions about Matt Healy was in there, talked a little bit about his grandfather, Jack Healy. I will quote him as the godfather of Massachusetts manufacturing. Others may not think that way, but I think there's a larger group that does than not. And he was very integral in manufacturing in Massachusetts. So Matt was on to talk about that a little bit as well. And then of course, we always added our humor to it.
Of course,
Yeah.
we do it wherever we go.
Yeah, it was great. Still waiting for that toaster though, right?
Yeah, still waiting on the toaster.
Yeah.
Still waiting on signing
Yeah.
them. Yeah, but no, that was a great podcast episode. Like you said, we had a lot of people in the room, speaking to a lot of important, I mean, initiatives coming forth in the future, and then what we were up to, in the past as well. So. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, looking at the numbers, it's like the tag of it's been 4 years in the making. Like, is that normal? 4 years to do 100 episodes? Or are we slow? Are we fast? Are we kind of in the middle? Like, because we're kind of probably on the slower end of getting to the 100th episode, right?
Well, I mean, there are some people that, I mean, all their business is podcasts, you know? So, I mean, we have a lot of different, marketing initiatives that go on in Mass MEP. So I don't know. I think we're just about in the middle.
I would say probably in the realm of MEPs, we're probably way ahead.
I would
Yeah,
think so.
the 100th. Okay, cool.
I would think so.
Well, I mean, here we are now doing what I said we were, episode 102 today. So
102, yeah.
we're moving on. Yeah. All right. So that was it. That was pretty much it for August, right?
Yeah, that was it. We closed it off with the podcast.
Okay. I
And
didn't
then
realize, just looking now, like how much stuff we actually did do in September.
yeah, I'm looking at it all. There's quite a bit. There's quite a bit.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through September, because it is way more than I thought we did.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started things off September 6th. We had empowering small manufacturers with generative AI. Yeah, this event was kind of to explore the potential of AI in your manufacturing company. This introduction 3-hour workshop was the ideal starting point. And attendees gained some foundational understanding of generative AI, its applications in manufacturing, and some practical examples of its impact. Unfortunately, I wasn't in attendance for this. You weren't in
Yeah.
attendance for this
I didn't
either.
know. I didn't go either, and I can't remember why neither one of us was in here, because if any of them, this would have been a definitely one that we would have, we did that podcast with Bill, Ellen, and Ron about
Yeah.
AI, the Wild
Yep.
West of AI, and I was enlightened, mind blown is really what it was. That I actually use AI as much as I do, because I was steadfast that I'm not using it. I'm against it. It's dumb. And then come to the realization that, gee, crap, like use it constantly all day long. But it still does have that, again, similar to, like we had mixed feelings yesterday or whatever day it was when we were in the mashup about automation and all of those things. This is another one that still has a lot of that too. And what was, again, I think if you're hearing anything from this podcast, and what we do as an MEP is we just want to give you as much information as we can to try to help you understand it. Like, we're in the world, it is our responsibility as a manufacturing extension partnership to educate the manufacturers. And so
Right.
that's what we're trying to do. And this was one of those things, because a lot of people right now are, when you talk about generative AI, what is it? It's really just it's generative on its own by the data that you put into it and what regurgitates kind of out from that. It's not really regurgitating, I guess, what it releases out from what you put into it. So I think Mark Roth from Spinnaker, had some information that he wanted to present and have manufacturers be able to understand a little bit more of and be better at. I can say that Mark will be at our event in October as well for our Strategic Resource Showcase,
Yeah.
as will Synergex, as will, who else did I say? Ellen for Innovative Growth Services. So that event in October is going to be huge. But he's the person, if you want to chat about some of this AI stuff and you're still on the fence and trying to understand it, that this is a great way to learn more about it. Ellen, Matt Healy is actually one that does a lot with the AI,
Yeah.
for our company, right?
Yeah, we've been doing some big things with some AI tools. And I mean, I think it's important to let these people know that haven't really dove into the AI like information. Like this, the artificial intelligence, it doesn't need to like run your facility. You can use it for just like little minute things that just give you some time back in the day to focus on other things. Like it doesn't need to run your shop, and it's not like whatever you put into it, that's what you're going to get out. So if you just want it for some minute little tasks, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah. So, like, if you, when you, if anybody were to actually see what it is, artificial intelligence is basically, it's a technologies that enable machines to perform tasks that typically require human intelligence, such as learning, reasoning, and problem solving. You still have to have all that. Like, it's not, this isn't Terminator. We're not at that point. But you do still have to have human intelligence inputting the information. You have to have learning along with that. So as you're working through, I think of it this way. I will type something in to get a result and I read it and go, no. And so I have to learn from my human input as to really then problem solve to figure out that's not really what I want. And then how am I relearning myself as I'm typing in the data to try to get information on the output side?
And I mean, even Haley and I record this on Zoom, and Zoom like even has a great AI. It's called AI Companion on the bottom. And I mean, it'll if you turn that on before one of your Zoom calls and you kind of want to be more engaged with the phone call rather than taking notes, you turn this thing on and it gives you a full summary of your call. Like even more than a full summary. Like a full summary doesn't seem as detailed as what it spits out. You know what I mean? It's incredible. So like I said, you can focus on other tasks when you know that the AI is handling this. Like the summary of the call, or like whatever you may be drafting an email to people where you don't really know what to say, type of thing, you know?
Yeah. And, a lot of people, it doesn't get everything and it doesn't get everything right, but neither do we as people. Neither do we as human beings. So we always say, actually, Christy is the one to usually say, you don't have time not to figure out how to use it. And so Kevin's right. We started using it more frequently. I can only write so fast as a human being. And so I write notes and then I use this to supplement, and it's great. So yeah, it was a good event. It was a lot of fun. So I would look for more of those too. We'll definitely be having more of those that will be coming in the future. So we did that September 4th, and then or sorry, September 6th, and then September 12th, we did the DIA webinar. We spoke about currently we're in the waiting period right now for the 24 release, 25 release, sorry, the 25 release of the funding. And so we had Marianne Falvey on there, who is the director of the DIA, which is the Department of Industrial Accidents. And then Kate Chilton was on there with us from Safety Trainers. And we talked about, Marianne spoke to, why the DIA, the funding that is available and what they're putting out there and what's and how you go through the process. The application period for 2026 is what's opening next. So we're a little bit ahead, which is actually great because this is stuff you can plan to use. Now, what we've tried to do as a center is we've actually applied for grant funding so that we can offer different safety programs and education, safety and education programs across the state of Massachusetts that you as a manufacturer can participate in. They're called consortiums. So there's no cash flow obligation, zero net cost to you as a manufacturer. And they'll be on our website if we get the funding and we're able to do the training. And then you can sign up and register for those. And then we also even ask for, if you are a manufacturer that has the space and would like to host, Kate pointed out the fact that it's makes for a better educational, creating that relativity for somebody to kind of gain, like grasp on to the information if it's actually in a manufacturer. So more to come on those. Fingers crossed we get the funding and people can attend the training session.
Yeah, and I think those consortiums are great because I mean, it gives you real life examples as well as you're sitting in this manufacturer's facility. Whereas I know we had a lot of those training sessions in our office. And I mean, in our office, it's kind of hard to, I don't know, I think it's just easier to look around and even for safety trainers to be like, oh, look at that. Like that's a hazard right there. Or to be like, or on the other sense where it's like, oh, if you didn't have that, like that would be a major hazard, you know? So it goes both ways.
Yeah, they're good at hopefully they don't go by my cube and see how many hazards I have.
Yeah, no, They don't go by our cubes.
Okay, good. So we're
That's
good.
off limits.
Okay, awesome. I don't have to worry about that then. Hopefully
Absolutely.
nobody is listening on here that's going to report us, but all right, so we made it to the end of the month. Obviously, the big one of the month was the mashup. We attended the mashup. It was big. It was moved to Gillette Stadium this year. The previous 3 years we were at Polar Park. MasTec, it's actually the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which is CAM, which is out of MasTec Collaborative. They are the ones that host the event. We're fortunate enough to just be a partner of the event. And then we have a direct connection because we sponsor the Manufacturing Awards. And this year was the 9th annual Manufacturing Awards ceremony. There were 58 manufacturers that received awards. Super exciting because it's all the manufacturers and it's across the entire state of Massachusetts. I get the question a lot as to how do I get nominated for that? It's actually either your representative in your district or your senator, and they're the ones that actually they nominate and choose is really what it is. So they're in the manufacturing caucus. So the co-chairs are Senator Feeney and Representative Jeffrey Roy. And they co-chair this caucus. And then there are senators and their representatives that are part of this caucus. And then they go out and they choose manufacturers in their district. And that's how you become a manufacturer of the year. My suggestion as a business owner and as a manufacturer is you should know your rep anyway. Definitely somebody you should, and they want to come and see you. They want to come in your doors. They want to know what's going on and what you're doing, especially if they are involved in this manufacturing caucus. They obviously have a desire and a passion about manufacturing, but even if they're not in the caucus, could be for other reasons. Maybe they've just got to, but still reach out. You still should know your representative or your senator and invite them, have them come and see what you've got going on. If you want, obviously it's your choice, it's your decision, but it's a lot of fun. We get to hand out the awards. Senator Feeney and Rep Roy do some a little bit of comedy too. Maybe they could do the stand-up with us.
That'd be great. I'd like that.
I would love to have them in the podcast.
That would be a good podcast. That'd be great.
I would really, really like to do that. I'm putting it out there in the universe. So let's see if that gets picked up. I'm gonna push for that. I'm gonna
If
push
they're
for that.
listening.
Yeah, we found out some really cool things about Senator Feeney and Rep Roy. So it's pretty neat. The great people. It was a lot of fun to see the manufacturers and the event was great. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway you took from the event that on this week?
What was my biggest takeaway?
It's hard for us because we're back and forth and we're kind of
It's tough because we were kind of siloed into one area. We were mostly in the GP atrium for most of the day, so it was tough for me to go see some other vendors. I know I wanted to go check out Synergex swag that they had on their table, but I
I
didn't get
put
a
a
chance.
request in for the fanny pack.
Did you? Did they have a fanny pack?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh my God.
Fantastic fanny pack. Yep. I'm gonna send my Christmas list to Santa John and ask him if I could get a fanny pack this year for Christmas.
No kidding. I think something else that like really stood out to me was all the I don't want to say kids, but all the kids that
Students,
were there, all the
students.
students. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a better
yeah,
term for them, I guess. I
yeah.
mean, that was fantastic. To see that many people, somewhat interested in the industry of manufacturing. It's nice to see. It seems like we'll be in good hands for many years to come,
Yeah.
and it was nice to see a good portion of them were going to like different, I don't want to call them breakout sessions, but different like sessions of the event. It was good to see. So that was great.
Yeah, they do. So part of MasTec and CAM is it they're very involved when it comes to the educational side of things with students in high schools and middle schools. So we're starting to realize that younger is when they start to have this in general interest. I think it's just a part of life too, as you think about your own world growing up. When you're in middle school, you're more inclined to still have your own thoughts about what you want to do, and it's not quite as clouded yet with what everybody else is doing. And so they're seeing that and saying these opportunities exist. And then you heard Rep Roy in the statistics, and he said, the average job, manufacturing job, is they're averaging $115,000 a year. And granted, yeah, that's maybe higher up, but with where things are going with additive manufacturing and just manufacturing in general, the salaries of what are being paid to them, that you these students see it first, and then they can go to a trade school, or some of them, maybe they go to college and then the manufacturer picks up the cost of the college, and pays their tuition reimbursement. So there's ways that I think we're trying to shift now with students. You're a perfect example, right? Coming out with a significant amount of debt from college, and now how are we trying to repay that back, and just the effects that it has on the economy. And so manufacturing is seeing that they can help. They can change things and make a difference. And we want to bring it back to the US. It's important for us to go back to where we were. So the
And I mean,
students, you're right, students are great.
yeah, and I mean, at that salary point, obviously that's higher up jobs for sure, but it just so shows how important like these jobs are, you know? And I was just thinking about how much more easy it is to market manufacturing nowadays than it was 30 years ago, even 20 years ago,
Yeah, I'd
even
say even
10 years
15,
ago,
Kevin.
you
It's
know?
come a long way. Yeah.
It really has, and it just
Yeah.
keeps on the innovations are coming so much more quickly, you
Yeah.
know? It's
Yeah.
like the time between each innovation, like now we're in AI, is just like incredible. And it's kind of like it's a little overwhelming at times, but just to see how much promise that manufacturing has and where it's going in the future is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Matt, and I think the reason salaries are a little bit higher for manufacturing in the state of Massachusetts is because of the some of the types of manufacturing that is done here in Massachusetts. When you get into the bio world, you get into the manufacturers that are in the DoD sector, it really is, now we're talking about chips, all these things that are kind of coming that way. So that's why it's up there. But yeah, and also with things like the DIA and the safety and OSHA, and they've escalated manufacturing to the point where it's allowing them to be safer, cleaner, stronger, so they can sustain, or and if they want, they can grow as well. So yeah, so starting with the students young was good. So yeah, so they had a lot of students there, a lot of manufacturers there. The vendors were lots of vendors, tons of great stuff. Great rooms. Ellen was able, she was there with who was she in, who was it?
It was
Gemline.
Sesame and Gemline.
Yeah. She was talking about
Kind
road
of
mapping.
having, yeah, road mapping, kind of having that
Okay.
strategy in place. A little bit of what we talked about earlier, where like you can put it in an additive or a 3D printer, but it's really about that strategy first, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what she kind of was speaking to. The session was called Mastering Digital Transformation with Strategic Road Mapping. So I mean, I think it speaks for itself. Before you get to that digital transformation, you need to have your roadmap. You need to have that strategy in place.
Yeah, it so it was good. And I would look for something like that for Ellen now that she's done it on a bigger scale. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something she wants to bring a little bit smaller and closer to home. And maybe that's something that we have coming up in the future. So keep your eyes peeled for that too. So it was a good day. It was a lot of fun. Great catching up, great networking, great connections with everyone. So if you were at the mashup, you were there, you saw it. We were super excited. So congratulations to all the manufacturers of the year. that won at the 9th annual, and next year will be our 10th annual. Might be a big one. So we're
Could be a big
excited
one.
about it. Yeah, well, we're
Yeah,
excited about where
absolutely.
we're going with that. So that's really it for September. October's big. Obviously, it's manufacturing month, and Friday, October 4th is manufacturing day.
Yeah.
Kevin has a great spot on the website for you. If you're doing anything for manufacturing day, you can go in and you can send us what you're doing, and then we can post it. It does look as though right now we have Northeastern Machine is doing something. They have, I think it's some plant tours,
Yep.
maybe is what they've got going on over there. Yeah, so you have to register, but it's an event designed to encourage. Oh, it's students. It's around students as well. So just take a look at our website and see what else we have going on for Manufacturing Day. And then our big event for the month is our Strategic Resource Showcase. We are holding that. I'll leave the last one for you. We are holding that on October 25th. This is for manufacturers only. And I'm going to say it one more time. It's for manufacturers only to attend. So there is no cost to the manufacturers, but it is only for those that are manufacturers to register to be a part of this event. This event is to, it is to strategically showcase the resources that are available that we either work with or we offer ourselves as a manufacturing extension partnership. And it is for us to educate, like I said earlier, the manufacturers and what is available to them, what we bring to the table as an MEP, and what our resources that we work with every single day also have to offer. And so there will be the agenda is available. It is on the website. We're opening registration up at 8:15. I think it's 8:30. I think we moved that to 8:30 is when registration will open. So it's a registration opens, networking, and then we have there'll be breakfast, like little continental breakfast. Always got food. And then we begin. So we're partnering with AIM on this. And so Kathy Mahoney, who is the Mass MEP president, who you guys hear from quite a bit, she and Brooke Thompson, who is the president and CEO of AIM, will be doing a fireside chat. The fireside chat is a perspective of each year we do the Voice of the Manufacturer survey, and then we get the results back from you as the manufacturer, hence why we only want manufacturers in this event. And they will discuss kind of the report out from that. And Brooke, having her involved in this, brings another layer as to she can bring in insights from the economic side of things, what's happening inside of the state, because they work with that side of it, right? We work directly with the manufacturers and what their needs are and what they're stating that they had, I would say their problems and what solutions they're looking for through this Voice of the Manufacturer survey. And then Brooke is able to bring that extra layer in and kind of giving you the background on what the state's doing, where what they're looking at, how it's kind of working, and maybe in some cases it's cohesive with what the manufacturers are also feeling and seeing at the same time. So we are really looking forward to them sitting down and walking through that. Then we're going to have and hand out our Resource of the Year award. This is new, never had this before. Very excited about this. And then we're doing micro sessions. So the micro sessions are a way for specific vendor or for specific resources to sit down. They will be 15 minutes. It's an intimate setting. There will be 7 or 8 seats at the table that you can sit at, and you can meet with that resource for that time. Really spend some time with them, asking some questions, while also maybe sharing some camaraderie and some best practices with your manufacturers next to you at the event. So sitting down, getting to meet with them. There'll be three micro sessions, so you can rotate through and hit up your top three that you want to speak to for the resources. And then at the conclusion of that, we will be doing more of the networking. So then you'll be able to do the vendor tables and hit up the vendors. And then that will allow you more time. So if there's 15 people there and you only are able to attend three micro sessions, you still have more time to be able to hit up the other vendors, sorry, resources that you're interested in getting connected to. So I would say 8:30 to noon, and a great little day full of lots of tidbits. We're breaking that elephant down into bite-sized pieces, so kind of making a elephant buffet. So come on in and get your pieces and pick and choose what's a la carte, we'll say. Pick and choose what works best for you, and then hopefully you can walk away with some value adds out from it. So that
Definitely.
is October 25th from 8:30 till noon. So please get yourselves registered on our website. And our last event for the month is.
Yeah, I'll quickly run through this one just because we're coming to the end of this. We got another Innovation and Libations coming to the Northeast on October 29th. We penciled down our manufacturer that will be the host recently. We're going to go visit Renscott Manufacturing, and that should be incredible. They have a lot of they do a lot of manufacturing for aerospace and defense. And they also have a lot of additive manufacturing 3D printers in their facility, as well as a lot of smart manufacturing. So it'll be a good way to for these manufacturers who haven't dived into the smart manufacturing realm to get a bit more information on how they're doing it, what challenges they've seen, because they've really been doing some fantastic work. I know the BDA, that's the business development advisor who's assigned to Renscott Manufacturing from MassMAP, Rick Monjo. He just can go on and on about Renscott and the people that work there. They seem like great people. I've had a couple meetings with them. They seem great. So we're really excited for this event. Bank of America will be sponsoring. We're still trying to pencil in exactly where we're going for the brewery, but or the libations portions of the evening, but we
Yeah.
will let you guys know.
Yeah. So get registered for that as well. It will be in that area. So Renscott is, where are they located? Woburn?
Woburn.
Yeah. All right. So anywhere in Woburn. So more than what the goal always is to stay in close proximity of a libation area within proximity of the innovation area. So make sure that you, register because it will be pretty close anyway. It'll be right down the road. So, and you can have a drink on Bank of America. Bank of America, love them.
Love
Love,
them.
love, love them. Love
Nancy's
them.
the best.
Yeah. The best. So,
But yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's another great Innovation Libations event,
yeah.
Another great one. But
Yeah.
that's
So,
what we got. That's what we've got going on.
all right. Well, that's it for the month. Another episode down. And as always, if anybody has any questions, it's on the website. Contact us, reach out if you need more information on anything. But other than that, hopefully we'll see everybody in October at the Strategic Resource Showcase
We'll see you there.
and at Innovation and Libations.
Of course.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.